All right, what's up, everybody? I'm Billy Humphrey.
And I'm Corey Russell.
And this is Gripped, Awakening the Grown in a Generation for Revival and the Return of the Lord. Here we are. We're on Season 6, Episode 7. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit this entire time. I think this season for me has been probably the most deep and the most sensitive my spirit has sensed.
Yes.
The entire all of our Gripped seasons.
Yes.
Every single time I just want to go in the prayer room after we finish our session. I just want to go in the prayer room and meditate and pray and cause these things to come alive in me.
And I would say that we talk about awakening the grown.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
This is what.
That's what this is doing.
Awakens the grown.
Yeah.
It's not being loud. It's not being boisterous or charismatic. It's communion with the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Who is the grown.
Yeah. No, it's so, and we'll find that out probably in the next episode about how he's groaning in us.
Yes.
But that idea that when we're beginning to engage Holy Spirit, there is a hunger and a desire and a longing that gets birthed on the inside of you. You just want more because he's always wanting to reveal more to us, and it's causing our spirit the capacity to expand.
Yes, yes.
So I'm finding that as the more that we're talking about the inner life and the Holy Spirit ministering inside of us and to us, the Spirit of revelation working in us, I'm finding my spirit is beginning to ache. There's a longing on the inside. What we want to do in this episode is we want to talk about life in the Spirit. There's a lot that's said about life in the Spirit. And what I find is when people mention life in the Spirit, it turns into sort of like Christian disciplines, which I appreciate that. We have to have Christian disciplines. I think we should fast, pray, read our Bible. I think we should do, you know, good works. But there's more than just doing Christian disciplines.
That's
there's
right.
Actually the life of the Spirit being lived out in us, being lived out through us. And it's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8. He expresses that in Christ, we're free from condemnation because Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. So he's entering us into this life in the Spirit. And he describes how we've been made free from the law of sin and death, which we talked about in an earlier episode. And he says what the law couldn't do, it couldn't set people free from sin. It couldn't set people free from death. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. And it's fulfilled in us and for us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so now he's making this distinction for believers that you can literally walk in the flesh as a believer, or you can walk in the Spirit as a believer. And this is a passion of mine that I see so many believers, and they're living below that trillionaire status that we've been talking about. And it's because they're walking in the flesh. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. They're interested in mostly fleshly things. And it's just, you've heard so many different ways it's said, but like the dietary example, for instance, if all you eat is junk food, that's all you're going to want. But if you clean up your diet, your body's going to crave healthier foods. If all you're doing right now is feasting on the flesh and the things of the flesh and the things that, you know, tickle your mind, tickle your flesh, that they move the passions of your flesh. If that's all you're ever feasting on, that's all you're ever used to, that's all you ever want, you don't even know the life of the Spirit, what it's like to live the life of the Spirit, to live free and to live led and to live moving and engage with the life of the Spirit. And so he's going to say it very, very clearly in Romans 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. That right there instantaneously makes me wonder. In this generation, there's the greatest amount of, I'd say, emotional, psychological disorders and illness that we've ever seen in human history.
Yes.
there is an attack on peace in the soul. And there's this desire for safety that everybody wants. It's kind of become a buzzword. Are you safe? Do you feel safe? And what I think that they're actually doing is they're looking for two things that we are offered by the Holy Spirit. We're offered peace and we're offered rest. But this word safety is like the carnal counterfeit to how do I get peace and rest? Is it safe? Are we safe? Is he a safe person? Is this a safe space?
Yes.
Is this situation safe? What are you saying you want, actually? You want peace. And you want your soul to be at rest. And here's what happens. When we're carnally minded, we try to find ways for us to find answers that are our own answer. And to me, this idea of safety that we concoct, that we make up ourselves, that is a carnal means for us to find the things that we're supposed to be given by the Spirit. I'm talking right now, right?
Yes, you are.
And this issue is this. When we try to find ways through our own mind and carnal means, we're going to come up with a carnal answer, and it's never going to actually work. Because what I find in this idea of safety, now, should we be kind to people? Absolutely. Should we be patient with people? Absolutely. That's love. But this idea of it's got to be safe, or if it's not safe, I can't be there. What you're actually doing is you're walling yourself off from life happening, from living in a world of challenge and difficulty that we're supposed to live as strangers and aliens with a greater witness on the inside.
Yes.
Him who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. And we're supposed to be able to live in the Spirit, living with life, with peace, with rest, no matter what is going on. And for me, that's one of the greatest testimonies that a Christian is in the midst. Everybody is exploding with anxiety and fear and difficulty in a challenging moment, and the Christian in the midst is able to bring peace into that situation. It's in fact what Jesus commissioned the disciples to do when they went on their ministry trips without him. They say, when you go into that town, release a blessing of peace into that place. Let your peace take over. How much more us who have God dwelling on the inside in a world that is literally losing its mind right now, us who have Holy Spirit, how much more should we be able to step into an environment, manifest life and peace in the midst of chaos, tumult, trial, difficulty, all sorts of disruption? We should be the ones bringing something that changes the atmosphere in every one of those places by the Spirit of God.
Absolutely. So good, Billy. I think the thing that's hitting me is this reality of setting your mind on the things of the Spirit.
Yes.
Setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. And I think we've been getting exposed the last few years in the church by how carnally minded we are because of how infiltrated our thought life and our emotion and our emotions and our desires are so connected carnally.
Yes.
Guys, there's an invitation to become spiritually minded people. This is my question, Billy. How do we set our minds on the things of the Spirit? We've been talking about this, 2 Corinthians 3, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, looking to the Spirit. You know, I heard it said, well, we may look at in Galatians where Paul said phrases like, when you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
That there are laws that when you engage, you have supremacy over those other laws.
Yes.
And I also remember Mike Bickle would always say, we will only walk in the Spirit to the degree we talk to the Spirit.
Mm.
Have you ever thought about what it means to set your mind on the things of the Spirit? What does it mean to, what does that mean? I think it means reading your Bible. I think it means talking to the Spirit. How do we move out of anxiety, fear, confusion, tumult into that life and that peace of communion and connection with the Holy Spirit? Because where your mind goes is where your walk goes.
Yeah, that's right. We're entering into a season where Jesus talked about men's hearts will fail them because of fear. That's where the
Luke
context
21.
Of the earth is going. It's going to be so tumultuous, so difficult, so chaotic. Men's hearts will fail them because of fear. Now, that is an interesting phrase. But here's my question. Are we already seeing that a little bit?
Yes.
Are we already seeing people's hearts just melting within them because of anxiety, because of worry and fear? Is that maybe the mental issues that we're seeing?
Well, he also says, and the expectation.
The expectation of the things that are going to come on the earth. So what happens is trials and difficulties happen. Those things impact you in a certain way. And then you start worrying and expecting and fearfully, like frantically thinking about what's going to happen. And that you just begin to cave in on yourself because of fear just running track in your mind.
Well, Romans 8 is the complete contrast.
Exactly. That's the point.
We now have the Holy Spirit living within us. As we fellowship, talk, think on the things of the Spirit, we have life and peace to now, and we have confidence in the future.
Yes.
We have a confidence of where we're going, of our ultimate future in God, realizing that we're drinking of powers of the age to come today. And that's what Romans 8 is all about, is about the future glory of the sons of God, because he's going to take us down here further, and he's going to talk about being delivered. The sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit.
Yes, yes.
And not led by the soul, circumstances, news, whatever else.
Yes.
So he's really making a contrast right here. Keep going. You want to say something?
Well, I think this, the difference between operating in the flesh and operating in the Spirit is belief in my own ability versus my absolute recognition of my need of the Holy Spirit to enable me.
Yes.
As long as I'm drinking on this side of the fence, thinking if I try harder, if I do more, if I work at it, if I really put some elbow grease, then I'll get it done, we're in the flesh. Now, I'm not saying that there's never hard work. Yeah, there's hard work. Of course there is. But if I think that my ingenuity, my intellect, my energy, my ability, my gifts are the answer to get through life's myriad challenges and difficulties, I've completely missed what living in the Spirit is about. Everything of life's challenges, they are going to continue to tell me I don't have the ability in myself, but I have Holy Spirit who will enable me to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, to walk through the pitfalls and the obstacle course of this age. And I can do it with life and peace instead of a carnal mind set on my ability. I don't think it's just like setting your mind on lust and watching bad things. I do think that counts. I don't think you should just watch a bunch of crap that Jesus died to deliver you from and listen to dudes cussing you out in your music. I don't think that's the way to get the fullness of the Spirit flowing in you. But I think this is mostly about your belief in your ability versus connecting to the truth that without him you can do nothing.
Yes.
And we need Holy Spirit to carry us, lead us, guide us, empower us, fill us, and speak to us every single day.
Look at how many times the Holy Spirit's referenced in Romans 8. He says this right here in verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
Yes.
Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Yes.
Look at all this Spirit talk. He says this in verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, look at this, by the Spirit, guys, this is a big one, by the Spirit, by living in union and communion with the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Yes.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You are not led. Friends, we are sons of God, children of God. We aren't led by our soul, our circumstances, our desires, our thought. We are led by the Spirit of God. Coming underneath, so many of you live week to week based on your circumstances, based on how much money's in your bank account.
Yes.
Based on how your relationships are going. Based on whether that person likes you or what they said about you on social media. So many of you live slaves in your soul, and your emotions are up and they're down. Your mind is up and it's down. Friends, we are liberated from the Ferris wheel.
Yes.
We're liberated from the roller coaster of living up and down. We are those who are led by the Spirit.
Yes.
We're underneath His government, underneath His leadership, under His authority. He's the one that leads us in that front seat.
And what we have to catch is this: to be led by the Spirit means you can't run ahead. You can't just run off. Okay, this is what we got to do. Okay, let's just go do it. You have to stop. You have to wait. You have to inquire of the Lord. You have to ask His direction.
This is so good.
You have to ask Him to show you what are the steps to take. If you're unwilling to wait, you're unwilling to be led. If you're unwilling to be patient, you're unwilling to be led. And so often we want to prove ourselves valid. We want to show that we've got ability.
Yes.
We've got to show that we've got something to, you know, we can offer. So we run around trying to prove ourselves valid. And the entire time we are wasting time and expending energy and striving in the flesh, and it ultimately reaps death. And this is my thing. When we look at all the activity of what we do in church, bro, we do a ton of stuff in church. Where is the explosion of life and peace and power from the activity? Where is the outcome? If it's stuff that Holy Spirit is leading, it should have Holy Spirit fruit. It should have Holy Spirit manifestation. It shouldn't be that people are getting chewed up and spit out by our church engine, ending up where they don't want to be around Jesus. They don't want to come to service anymore. They don't want to, because we are so churning out all this work. Let me ask you, where is the outcome of the life in the Spirit? What we have got to do is slow this thing way down. Be willing to look awkward and maybe even a little foolish, and allow Holy Spirit to once again direct us so that His leadership is the preeminent way that we strategize, the preeminent way that we work, the preeminent way that we offer ourselves. It's by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And this is the bottom line. That is the emblem of our sonship.
Yes.
We're not sons if we're not being led.
This is exactly what happened with Jesus when He was baptized.
Yes.
Comes out of the baptismal waters, the heavens open. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.
Yes. And then?
And then the Spirit led Him to the wilderness.
Yes.
These are the sons, which means I love that. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I want to just say this to you. As you're growing in intimacy with Him, slow down.
Slow down.
I like to say, get into the school zone. You're 25 miles per hour. So many of you're not going to grow in intimacy and history with Holy Spirit on the run. Because we are used to running and trying to manipulate and talk Holy Spirit into our visions instead of waiting and being led into the will of God.
Yes.
Jesus was led to the will. He hears this. Now, this is something profound about the work of the Spirit.
Yes.
And this connects in with all of this,
yes,
in Romans 8.
Yes, exactly, for sure.
He hears beloved identity. You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then He's led by the Spirit to the wilderness so that the revelation He's just received would be matured, perfected, and solidified on the inside of Him.
Yes.
And that's usually what will happen, is that you'll receive the Spirit of adoption. I belong to Abba. And sometimes, many times, you'll go through a season of suffering.
Yes.
Trial, wilderness. And the enemy will tempt you and test you, saying if you are the Son of God.
Yes.
And God will use seasons like that to actually solidify you.
Yes.
As a son.
Yeah, the whole attack of the devil on Jesus, it wasn't about bread, you know, stones to bread.
Proving.
It wasn't about, it was all about his identity. Yes. If you are
yes.
the Son of God, do this. It was all, the attack was about his identity. And here's the thing. We love the verse, Jesus was led out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. But we do not love the verse, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The same Holy Spirit who empowers and fills and gives us peace and life, and he leads us out of the wilderness, he first leads us into and through the wilderness so that the beloved identity can be cemented in yes. us through the revelation of Spirit of adoption on the inside, saying, Abba, Father, and the Lord answering, you are my beloved Son in whom well
this is what Paul is saying in Romans 8. If you, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Yes, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We're children. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him.
Suffer with him.
That we may also be glorified.
Yes.
And then Paul's going to say, I consider the... Now guys, oh my gosh. Paul's in another stratosphere right here. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Yes.
So the... I don't even fully know what I'm saying. Paul is in another stretch. He's talking about the eschatological reality of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about that, the fact that you receive, I've always said this, you receive the spirit of adoption. It's the free gift. It's something you come into, but it's the free gift. But it's suffering, wilderness, and trial where sons are manifested.
Yes.
Where sons are manifested, where sons come into their identity, because orphans run, yes. sons emerge.
Yes.
Orphans flee, sons come forth through the trial, through the wilderness. That's why Jesus went in filled, returned in power.
Yes.
And that's the process of the work of the Spirit solidifying us that we belong to God.
That we belong to
and
God.
And he uses suffering,
yes.
trial, and difficulty.
To temper it.
To temper it. And yes. To bring it forth.
Yes. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, I will not leave you as orphans. We had hit that in an earlier episode. He says, I will come to you. This is the outworkings of that. Holy Spirit on the inside, oh. bringing us into the fullness of our sonship. And I'm so struck with the truth that Jesus said, I didn't do anything that I didn't see the Father do. I don't say anything that I didn't hear the Father say. What is that about? That's about sonship. That's about living reliant on Holy Spirit, not living in the flesh. It's about saying, you know what? I'm going to cease from my own works. Just like God did from his, I'm going to live in the rest of a beloved son. I'm going to live in the beloved identity that I am his child. I'm going to live led, filled, empowered, and matured by the Holy Spirit so I can step in to the fullness of my identity and sonship.
This is what happens as this thing gets solidified on the inside of you. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared
exactly.
with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Exactly.
In us. That's how you walk through the sufferings of this world.
Yes.
The difficulties, the trials, the setbacks, the limitations, the pain points of your life is a profound revelation of glory.
Yes.
That's being worked in you, matured in you,
yes.
and that in the fullness of time will be revealed in you.
Yes. And he is touching on things that are to come. This, I mean, even in the last episode, we talked about things that God has prepared for those who love him. He's going to say, he says it in verse 11, then he says it again, then he's going to say it again. But glory is going to fill every pore and fiber of your being. you are going to be completely immersed, baptized in glory. You are going to get a glorified body and take on in every component of your nature the fullness of the glory of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we shall be like him. And there is a glory that is surpassing. There's a glory that is transcendent that you and I are going to enter in. The full redemption of our bodies by the Holy Spirit, we're going to be glorified.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The redemption of our bodies.
Oh, Father, give us a vision for the fullness of sonship. Let us believe that our safe place is with the Holy Spirit, that our safe place is in your will. God, let us dream with you of the things that you prepared for us who love you. The full redemption of our body, the transformation, the glorification, these are ours. Let us accept and walk in the fullness and the truth of that even right now, I ask, Abba.
This is the awakening of the grown. Thank you, Jesus. Solidify this in us. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Gripped. We pray this episode blessed you. If so, feel free to subscribe and leave a good rating. You can watch this episode and more on our YouTube channel, Gripped Podcast, and feel free to follow us on Instagram @TheGrippedPodcast. Bless you.